listening to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible Geek, Mark Hart.
Hello again, everybody. Good to be with you. This week we're taking a look at the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 11. Our responsorial psalm from Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5, then verses 18 through 20. To our second reading, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and our gospel from St. Mark, who else? Chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Have you ever seen someone mock a firefighter for running into a burning building to try to save a life? Have you ever seen someone mock a police officer for trying to do what's right, for trying to protect other people? Have you ever seen someone mock anyone in our armed forces for trying to protect, for trying to defend, for trying to bring justice? And if you have, then that was probably a sad soul that you were watching, even if they had a good intention. Because at the end of the day, and these are not the only professions by any means, but at the end of the day, people like our firefighters, our police officers, our armed forces, our military, those kinds of people, anyone who stands to protect, anyone who stands to serve, anyone who's willing to go against the flow, you know, it's not the natural human instinct to run into a burning building. It's the natural human instinct to run out. There's something heroic about running in the other direction. There's something heroic about putting yourself in harm's way to try to save or protect or help another. And it's noble. It's something that inspires all of us as human beings. It inspires the spirit. It gets us to want to become better. It might challenge us to be more virtuous, more selfless, more heroic. And my brothers and my sisters, this is part of the difficulty in the Christian life. It's easy to look at Mother Teresa or someone who serves the poor, or someone who gives up their life for the most needy, and to say how beautiful, how noble, how heroic. But oftentimes when you see somebody who stands for truth and gets destroyed for it online, someone who stands up and proclaims truth, you know, the Holy Father shows up in a foreign country, proclaims truth, and people are chanting and they're revolting and they're burning things and they're uttering all profanity, and it's amazing. There are certain things that every human being considers noble, you know, to serve the poor. But for some reason, preaching truth, sacrificing your reputation, sacrificing any other thing, can oftentimes be misunderstood, can oftentimes be seen as bad. And suffering can often be seen as bad. There are entire religions that love the cross but hate the crucifix. They love the concept of Jesus suffering for us but hate the concept of suffering personally. And that doesn't make them bad. None of us are dying to suffer. It would be kind of weird if you were waking up every day saying, "Lord, I really want to suffer. I desire to suffer." You know, but there is something beautiful about suffering. There's something what's called redemptive about suffering. When I can take the suffering I'm going through and not say, "God doesn't love me. He must not love me." But instead to take the suffering I go through, big and small, and offer it up and say, "This is teaching me about Christ. This is teaching me about the heart of Christ. I can offer this up and align it to Christ. I can offer this up for other people." And that's a beautiful gift. And we have to understand that gift if you want to understand this week's readings. In the first reading, it says, "The Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity." Now that is a really, really tricky verse. The Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. He was happy to make him miserable. But then it goes on to say, "If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him." Now I can look at this as a father and say, I am willing to go through suffering, massive suffering, hardship. I'm willing to work hard, work overtime, travel. I'm willing to give up a lot of things, put up with a lot of things so that my kids would know God, so that my kids would be blessed. And if God says, "Yes, Mark, you're going to go through all that," then you know what? So be it. If God thinks I can handle it as much as I might not want to suffer, so be it, God. But I'm going to offer this up for my kids, that in that example, they'll learn a lesson, that even when bad times come, they're going to see me in love with you, God. And that's one of the beautiful benefits of suffering. When you see people suffer and go through a hard time and still love God, just like Jesus, as he's suffering through the cross, still loving God, still seeking the will of God, still seeking others, and those others are you and me. It's inspiring. It's heroic. And suffering is not always a terrible thing. It doesn't always have to be a bad thing. And that's really misunderstood in our culture. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants heaven, but nobody wants to die. My brothers and my sisters, if you want heaven, you got to die. If you want the glory in heaven, you have to be willing to suffer on earth, here and there. And this is so important. Again, in the second reading, this is when the writer of Hebrews is trying to explain that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God. And he still had to suffer. You know, St. Augustine said, look, God had only one child on earth without sin. He didn't have any children on earth who didn't suffer. And we have to remember that Jesus, who went through the suffering, this is a great thing for us. Because when we go to his throne of grace in heaven, we know, we have confidence. It says, let us confidently approach the throne of grace. To do what? To receive mercy and to find grace. That he is like us in all things but sin. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. There's nothing that you can throw at him in your human suffering that he wouldn't know, except sin. And my brothers and my sisters, oftentimes sin is the byproduct of our suffering. We're suffering so we seek sin instead of seeking God. And also our undoing in this world is that because we don't want to suffer, because we want to be mighty and we want to be respected and we want to have VIP status, that we're constantly going to God. And even some of us who pray daily and who know God, you know, intimately, sometimes we're expecting special favors. Sometimes we're expecting, you know, that he's going to treat us differently. Maybe you've heard before, you know, oh, that should never happen to that person. They're such a holy family. That couple should never miscarry. They're such a holy family. And it's not as though God is up in heaven making these things happen and happy that they are. But if God allows suffering, it's because he knows we're capable of it. If he allows suffering, it can be a great gift because we have to go to him. It causes us to go to him. And my brothers, my sisters, in this gospel reading, when James and John, you know what they want? They go to Jesus and they're saying, look, you know, would you let us sit on your right and on your left? You know, when you come in your glory, okay, in that throne room we just talked about in the second reading, when you come in your glory, can we sit on your right and on your left? You're going to be the head guy. We got that. You're going to be the VIP. Can we be like the VPs? Can we be the vice presidents? Can we be the next in line? You know, can you exalt us over the other 10 so that we're the two really special ones? And then there's those 10. And what they're seeking is freedom from suffering. They're seeking the power. They're seeking the authority. They're seeking the props. You know what I mean? And what Jesus is saying is, look, you don't understand what you're asking. You know, you're asking to drink out of a cup that you do not want to drink from. And he goes on to talk about, this is what's going to happen. You know, and he says, you know, you're going to be recognized. And what you have to understand is if you want to be great, you have to be a servant. You know, the greatest is the least. If you want to be great and be considered great in heaven, you have to serve on earth. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And what's very interesting is that in Mark chapter 10, James and John come and say, let us sit on your right and your left when you come into your glory. And if you turn a few pages to the right and you head into chapters 15 and 16, and Jesus comes into his glory at Calvary, he comes into his glory on the cross, there are two people. One on his right and one on his left. They're criminals. They're thieves. That's the very next time you hear St. Mark talk about the right and the left of Jesus Christ. That's the very next time that he references that. That what James and John were asking for in terms of earthly glory doesn't come in an earthly way. That if you want the glory of heaven, you have to be willing to suffer on earth. And if you want the glory of earth, well, most likely you're going to suffer for it, even on a cross. My brothers and my sisters, we should be so blessed to get to sit on his right and his left in heaven. We should be so blessed to be in the throne room of heaven where we will find grace and mercy. And we'd be wise to remember that the one we're seeking grace and mercy from didn't flee from suffering. He embraced it all the way to the cross. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.